I'm just happy I'm a Muslim that came from the streets to Islam. The girl, when I see my brother, give a palm, embrace with a hug, and greet with salam. Salamu alaikum.
The Dane Show and his talk.
Jenny, walk with me. Walk with me. This morning I was chilling out in London. Then I ended up in Istanbul. Last night I was in Switzerland.
What's your purpose in life? It just looks like a game to me. I would think occasionally, it's my always right. I need to fix up my life tonight, it'll be my last night.
This is the Dane Show.
This is the Dane Show.
This is the
Dane Show.
So just before the summer, yeah, 2002, my mind's already had a wonder, now it's time to make a move. Made my way down to the studio, where I link up with my crew, sitting on a single chair, running my fingers through my hair.
Abby, Abby.
It's working?
Yeah, it's working. Yeah. Asalaamu alaykum, Allah, Muhammad Rasulullah. There's no true God except Allah. Muhammad is his messenger.
Assalamu alaikum.
Mum always had a smile, no matter how slow I progress. Mum would always say that my son is the best. And mum never let me forget that this life was just a test.
Welcome to the Dane Show, Special UK. How do you feel about your experience? What are the gems you're getting from this experience in Spain, which was unexpected?
The Assalamu alaikum. Greetings of peace. Peace be with you.
And I was raised in Christianity. I used to go to church. Mum would drop me off to school, then she'd rush off to work. Mum saw her son change when I turned 19. She still loved me the same when I converted to this deen.
So we don't, maybe some of us, we forgot how this whole journey started. Like now we're talking about millions of viewers, including on this Sam channel. Many other channels are putting your show. So we take it for granted. You've been with us doing this show weekly on Friday, but really, what is the story behind it?
She just started asking questions. Son, why are you doing that? I said, Mom, sit with me. Watch this DVD of Ahmed Dida. I slowly but surely, Mom even recognized the truth and appreciate the change that I made since my youth. She knew I was flying away. She wanted to spend the day together. This was our moment. We went to the mosque together.
From love of dunya, from the chase, the strong desire to want to amass all of the things of dunya, and then you have those things, and then all that wanes off. It's not the same thing. You go through what we call sometimes in America a midlife crisis. You're buying a Corvette, right? And they're like, you're getting older, you start asking what's the purpose of life, you start really pondering and thinking, and alhamdulillah,
it's enough to make me smile to see my mom with a hair cover. And then she wrote the news, she wanted to take her shahada. Allahu Akbar.
But I didn't want to go ahead and follow blindly. So I wanted to make sure that this way of life was from the Creator. And you know how it goes. You go all around the world. You start looking at all the world religions. You investigate. You do what a smart, intelligent person does. And you connect with your Creator, guiding you along the way. You ask. You sincerely ask. Guide me. What's the purpose? Why am I here? Islam is clear. It stands out from all the rest. Provides all of the logical, rational evidences, proofs that indeed it's from the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And then naturally, nobody was telling me you got to give dawah. Nobody. But it was a natural consequence. I was learning, I was getting excited, and I was like, wow, this stuff works. It's doing something for me. If now you care about your friends and your family, and it was just a natural result.
Interviews or video focus on some celebrities. Why do you think it's relevant? Why do you think it's important for us to look at this type of individuals and reach out to them through your platform?
It's very important. And we know when the Prophet ﷺ made the dua for the two Umars, right? Because he knew the power, the influence that they have. Nowadays, usually the youth and the adults, people who are taking the wrong examples as role models. So when you, for instance, you have Zayn Malik, for instance, okay? Or Nas. These are the recent shows we did. And from there, it captures the audience's attention to see, not necessarily we're sending them a message with love at the same time, but their audience also, they're their fans. So they tune in and say, what are they talking about my Nas? What are they talking about my so-and-so?
Yeah.
And now, not only is this a seed planted that if Allah wants to deliver, hey, it gets to them, but at the same time, their mass following. And the Muslims also, who normally wouldn't tune in, now they can tune in and see. They can benefit from these gems that the guests have on, that we talk about.
Do you agree with that? All right. So So you see, that's the type of thing we want to ask you. What do you see in the future? You've been doing that for 12 years. You're going to continue for sure, but where do you want to take it further?
GPS, as I always say, Jannah.
Okay.
So we just got to, inshallah, stay with it and do our small part. Everybody, if everybody can do, because obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the heavens and the earth, He's not going to judge us on the results. It's on the effort that we put in.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful story about the rock that committed suicide. You hear that story about the rock that committed suicide? Small little rock holding up a huge dam with all these other rocks. So when people, everyone contributes their small part. Everybody doesn't have to be on TV, doesn't have to be a speaker, doesn't have. But if everybody, people behind the scenes, everybody contributes. Because if everybody stops contributing, and those small little rocks, for instance, what happened with the rock is helping to hold up the dam. He didn't see his significance because he's so small. So he committed suicide. He jumped in the water, in the river. And then what happened? That rock came out of its place and every other rock started falling down. Then the dam collapsed. Now imagine yourself as that little rock. Everyone, all of us in unison, is working together in harmony like one ummah, doing what the Prophet ﷺ, his sunnah, and the sunnah, the way of all the messengers of Allah, conveying this message in behavior, in attitude, and in speech, in the best of actions, then we're going to collectively make a huge impact.
Final question, you know, like, how doing dawah impacts you in your deen? Because, you know, most of the time when we do dawah, people think, oh, we're doing that for the non-Muslim, or we're doing, but deep inside, like, how does it move you, as a Muslim, as a human being, how is it influencing your life and making you steadfast in the deen?
Allahu Akbar. This is a great, brilliant question. Because when you're doing the dawah, this is something that not only, obviously, you're trying to help others, but first and foremost, when I press record, I'm benefiting myself. I'm benefiting from the knowledge that the person has to share. So that is because over the years, it's amazing. The more I've interviewed the sheikhs, the muftis who've come over, not literally muftis and shaykh from other religions, you know, the top scholars, the more they engross themselves into the way of life they're upon, the more they saw the contradictions, the discrepancies, the more it pushed them away. Now they came to Islam. The more you study, learn Islam, and you grow from it, you use the tools that it gives you for life to get through the struggles, to get through all of the challenges, it empowers you. But if we're not learning it, we're not living it, and we're not sharing it, we're losing it.
We have to love our Prophet more than our parents. But how do you practically do that, if not by following his number one sunnah, which is to do dawah? How can you claim you love someone if you don't do what he does? And it's something we have to take home, inshallah. Like, we have to understand that being a Muslim is not just by name or from our parents, but it's truly following the leadership of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, keep pushing boundaries. And this is to show how we love him is to truly follow his steps. Don't you agree?
There's a hadith where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the last and final messenger sent to mankind, when you accept him, you automatically include, not exclude, all the preceding messengers. Jesus, Moses, Abraham, and all the ones that came before with the same message, worship the Creator, not the creation. He said, he was talking to all his companions, paraphrasing the hadith, and he said, all of my followers were entered Jannah except those who refused. Does anybody refuse here to go to Jannah?
No.
Does everyone want to get to Jannah?
Yes.
Allahu Akbar. But they said, well, who would refuse, O Messenger of Allah? Those that don't follow my way, my sunnah. And his way and the way of all the prophets of Allah was to convey this message.
Allah. Inshallah, we get our books in our right hands and we all meet in Jannah. Thank you for a wonderful time in London. Thank you for so far.
Oh, so we got some brothers here, one from Turkey, and you're from...
Salford.
From Salford, where's that?
In... Just around the corner from here.
And you actually have a unique story. You accepted Islam how long ago?
Oh, that's several years ago.
over 20 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
What was your background before Islam?
Well, my father actually converted to Islam, but he died when I was quite young. So we were brought up with a kind of a bit of Islam in our lives and a bit of everything. So I went to Sunday school, we went to... atheist kind of socialist youth camps and things.
Were your parents Christian or Jewish?
Well, my parents were Christian originally, but they both converted to Islam by the time my father converted to Islam.
Okay.
So we had a kind of brought up with awareness of Islam. But they weren't that, you know, keen or pushy. You know, we were allowed to do what we want. So we all kind of went off our own ways, and alhamdulillah, we've all found our way back to Islam.
And what was it? What was it that your parents instilled in you? What was it that brought you back and you didn't drift off to, let's say, secularism to atheism?
Well, I would consider I was an agnostic probably from about 13 to 20 odd. And when I was 21 is when I became Muslim properly.
Yeah.
So, but what brought me back was the whole process of thought processes, essentially. And I think ultimately it comes down to the issue of... if there is purpose in life, then I can have purpose. If there's no purpose to existence, then my life is always just part of achieving nothing.
Yeah.
And if there's purpose, then the question is, if anything ought to be the case, there ought to be justice. And justice cannot be limited to this life.
Yeah.
People die having led difficult lives and suffered, and people die having led life of ease and had everything and done bad things. And you cannot have justice if it's limited to this life.
Yeah.
So if there's purpose, there's justice. If there's justice, then there must be judgment. There must be God. There must be, one God who can judge justly.
One God, and you found that pure monotheism that many people connect to, the purpose of life in Islam, and you're sharing Islam through this project that you do. What is that project?
So the project is called the Public Quran Campaign. Put signs with the Quran in public. Praise is for God, Lord of the worlds.
There you go. If more people would read the Quran, connect the Quran, you got a beautiful project to help people connect with the verbatim word of God, the Quran, which tells you the purpose of life, how you got here, why you're here, where you're going. Keep tuning in. Assalamu alaikum. Orange juice. You made a nice transition. Not a bar, but a juice bar. So who said we can go ahead and keep it clean?
Halal bar.
Alcohol free. And when we drink, bismillah.
Halal bar.
Alhamdulillah.